Hey guys, before we get the episode started, I wanted to tell you about a cool new initiative that I think you're going to love. Hunters has partnered with global African pop icon Trezor and the Jackal Culture House for the all-new round of the 2024 Foster the Sound Music Talent Search and Mega Masterclass. This is to help you get your career from gussie famous to world famous. Hunters and the Jackal Culture House are dedicated to creating unique opportunities for all aspiring artists, which is why they'll be hosting an exclusive free music masterclass with three industry titans, Trezor, Musa Keys, and Shekinah, happening in May, live from AMPD Studios in Jozi. It's free to enter, but the seats are limited. So register now at www.jackalculturehouse.com. Get your free ticket now to the biggest masterclass of the year. Proudly brought to you by the Jackal Culture House and Hunters. Refreshers like nothing on earth. Not for sale for persons under the age of 18. Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to another episode. Today's episode is quite special. I met this lady when I started my first business, my salon, and she came with her three sisters, and I had a salon special, and I think she was my client, and we're talking, and I was planning a wedding, and she said, I'll plan your wedding for free. And I'm like, just like that. Who I'm talking about is Mabotla. She is a wedding planner, owner of the Fortress venue. If you haven't hosted an event there is something wrong with you, because at this point, like, it is the go-to place. She's a mom, a wife, and a sister and friend to all her brides, all 1 million of her brides.
I am.
Welcome, Mabotla.
Thank you so much for having me.
How does it feel to be friends with all of your brides? How do you keep that up?
Because I don't have a lot of friends personally, it becomes so easy. And yeah. I don't have to worry about the fact that you are now, I'm forced to be your friend for life. You are my friend for
the season.
This season. And yeah. After that, the new friend comes in. And after that, it's nice.
It's nice.
It's nice. It's actually very nice. Now that I'm saying it, it's nice. I don't have to worry about, I haven't seen you in forever. So yeah, I love it.
Okay, let's get some icebreakers. What song did you listen to this morning? Grace by Tasha Cobbs.
Yes, I didn't want to say it myself. How did you know?
I know. Did you really listen to it?
Yes.
Grace by Tasha Cobbs.
Yes.
That's our song.
Yes.
Do you listen to it every day?
It grounds me. It helps me. It kickstarts my day. It reminds me of where I come from as a person. It reminds me of how gracious God is.
Yeah.
And I know, once I forget God's grace, I am doomed for life.
It's done. It's over.
It's over. So grace for me carries me.
Yeah.
So
literally, as the song says,
I listened to Grace by Tasha Cobbs.
Grace by Tasha Cobbs. Okay. Choose between. You have to choose one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You either get to plan weddings or you get to buy frames for your glasses.
I would plan weddings.
You would give up buying frames?
Yeah. I'd plan weddings.
Mabotla, I'm going to ask you again. For the rest of your life, you get to keep that frame. You never ever get to buy another frame.
I wouldn't cope, guys. No, I'll go back to buying my frames.
How many frames do you have now?
I'm now sitting on 42 and I just bought 9. So I'll have 51.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They make me happy.
Yeah. They especially because you're not a splurge on anything else. All you want, Bandla, is just glasses.
Glasses. Can I please just have a lot of glasses? Can I wear my glasses, change my glasses every day?
That's
and
it.
I will be fine. Actually, buying frames would be what I would.
You wouldn't make it without planning.
No.
Things. Okay. This one is one that is tailored for you.
Yeah.
What is the best cake speech that you've ever heard at a wedding?
I don't know why that old lady, being an old lady, did that. But she went deep into sexualizing things.
Yeah.
Like, she went deep into, le ha ukwati le ngwanaka, o mofe, le ha asabatle, o mofe, ha ukwati le, re kwata mo Oh my gosh.
But isn't that all the speeches though?
But the way she was saying it, coming from an old lady who understands life, whom I've actually had a sit down with to sort of guide her on what not to say.
No,
that was off. I didn't like that part at all because of those two things. So she's old and we had a sit down as to, let's not sexualize it. Find ways to talk about building a marriage, blah, blah, blah.
The
ingredients and the whatnot.
So it's actually not about sexualizing. It's the ingredients to building a beautiful marriage.
Yes, you cannot bake a cake with just flour. You can't just have eggs only, or you can't just have eggs and flowers and water and then throw in the oven.
Yeah.
It won't come out nice.
Yeah.
So that's what I guide people who are going to have this cake cutting thing.
Yeah.
You know, the direction that you need to take. Guys, it's not that.
It's not it.
It's wrong, actually, because what do you say about me as a woman? Am I not allowed to get angry?
Yeah. And your hormones work with...
Exactly.
Your whole body works with everything that's
Exactly.
But anyway, I want to get into you. I think a lot of people know Mabotla the planner, Mabotla the owner, but I don't think a lot of people know where you come from. I mean, now we just had a moment where you just shared that today would have been your mom's birthday.
Yeah.
So I want to know and you've got how many siblings? Five.
Five
siblings.
Six at home.
There's six of you guys. Yeah. I want to know about your upbringing. Who's Mabotla as a child? How is home? Who's Mabotla's mom? Mabotla's dad?
My upbringing was beautiful.
Mm.
It wasn't perfect, but it was beautiful. I grew up with a mom, a dad, who was there but not always there. Mm. My dad, I don't want to beautify this, he wasn't the best of dads, as most dads are.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, but most are. But my mom was the best.
Yeah.
She molded the home for people who were outside to not even see what was happening inside.
Yeah.
She gave us a balanced upbringing.
Yeah.
She gave us an upbringing that was grounded in God. She gave us an upbringing that was, we didn't lack because of her.
Yeah.
So my mom was the one person that actually played a vital role in giving us the upbringing that we had, the balanced upbringing that we had. Six kids. And then we went to good schools.
Yeah.
We didn't go to schools locally. We didn't go to schools. So yeah. The memory that sticks out for me at primary is the fact that I was always with my siblings.
Mm.
Yeah.
We still are always.
Yeah. So the three of us actually were at the same primary school. So that helped us in being so close. And what I also remember about my high school is my mom always emphasizing the importance of not being swayed away by friends, not being swayed away by things that are happening around you, not being swayed away by peer pressure.
Yeah.
My dad would say, do not be derailed as a person.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I also remember from my dad is he preached a lot of unity in us.
That makes sense.
Exactly. So he would literally get home on the days that we'll be home and call us for him to just have meetings with us to really discuss the importance of unity. He would literally make us go take a pen, and then put them together and then try break them. They cannot be broken.
Sure.
But take one. And the other example that he would do is a chain.
Yeah.
When one breaks or when one of those hooking things breaks, everything is
broken.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we had a good upbringing.
Yeah.
But my mom played a role in instilling the values that she instilled in all of us. And yeah, it's her birthday today and she's not here.
Yeah. And how you celebrate, I know you shared with me, but I think it's such a beautiful way of celebrating her. And I think it can encourage so many others on, in finding ways to grieve the loss.
So she would say to, I don't know if she said this to my other siblings, but I remember we had this conversation, Gore, when I am doing my garden, Mawitla, I'm actually praying for my yard.
Oh.
Yes, I'm praying for my yard. So she was more into a beautiful garden, a beautiful grass, beautiful plants, beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
Beautiful
nature,
so
yeah.
What I do is I just buy a plant and plant it with my kids in the afternoons because that's when she passed on.
Yeah.
And each year since we moved in the house that we live in now, it has a memory of this was in
this year,
the following year.
That,
so I just plant something that will forever remind me of her.
Yeah.
And I do that because it's a plant needs to be nourished.
Yeah.
A plant needs to be
love,
watered.
Yeah.
So by doing that, whenever I water my garden, I know or I'm reminded of her all the time.
We just started our conversation, but now we're here. Does grief, does it ever get better or does it just look different?
It gets better with time because you know how to handle it.
Yeah.
You know how to also handle your emotions when you miss your loved one who's no longer with you. So you find ways to, okay, I miss you, but I choose to laugh about it.
Yeah.
Okay, I miss you, but today I just want to...
Today I just want to cry. Yeah.
And I am going to cry because it's what I feel at the moment. And most of the time that feeling comes because I can't call you. I can't have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And I wish to have that conversation with you.
Yeah.
So that's when the crying emotions for me come. So grief gets better with time. All because you are also getting used to not having that person around anymore.
Sure.
You are used to not seeing them, not smelling them, you know. You realize when they are gone that...
Smell.
Mm.
It's important.
My mom loved perfumes. And I think that's where I get the love of expensive perfumes from.
Yeah, yeah.
She loved a good perfume.
Yeah.
So the fact that she wasn't there anymore and the perfume smell is no longer there, or it's dying down.
Yeah.
The fact that you would walk in and now the room doesn't smell the way it used to. It gets better.
It gets better.
Mm.
I wanna know, you were 18 when you lost your mom, and that's your sister was 17, and you guys were all young. Your oldest sister was 26.
Yes.
Do you remember on that day, did you immediately know as an 18-year-old that life is about to change, or did you kind of get into, okay, what next? And then, how did your mom, losing your mother, change you as a person?
So my mom was sick. And she went to hospital and the doctors ended up saying there's nothing we can do. She had to come back home. She came back home, let me just say, on a Monday. And then on the Tuesday, she was in bed the whole day.
Yeah.
And on the Wednesday, she was in bed. She wasn't talking. She wasn't doing anything. She was in bed the whole day. And for some strange reason, on that day, there was just a lot of people coming to the house, coming to see her.
Mm.
I don't know. I still don't know till today how they knew that my mom is home and she's not feeling well.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm.
And there were just a lot of people coming. And in the afternoon, between 4 and 5, I was standing outside. There were people in the room praying, and they called my sister, Sesim Sibudi, who is an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Sesim Sibudi Kimu. Yo, my sister is strong.
Her heart. Yeah.
And they called her, and I remember I said I was outside. And standing outside with my friends or with whoever, I just heard her scream, like, what just happened?
Mm.
And at that time, I knew that something really bad
has happened.
Has happened. And at that time, I remembered all, everything. She wasn't talking, so she's probably gone. She wasn't talking. Maybe she's vomiting. She wasn't talking. Maybe she's, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And the sensitivity scream made me so scared. It took away that scream till today. I never forget it. It took away stability. It took away stability. And when I talk about stability, I'm not talking about financial stability. I'm talking about emotional stability.
Sure.
I'm talking about care stability. I am talking about, it just took away comfort, you know. And I ran in, or we ran in, because, I mean, we could all hear what seems to be screaming. And we ran in, and as we are running in, but stop our return in the room, you know. And that's when I knew that she's gone.
Yeah.
And that's when life changed.
Yeah.
There is nothing that beats a mother's love. You have never experienced loss until you lose a mom.
Sure.
And some say a child. I don't know how that feels. But it destabilized us. For the longest time, in the week of the funeral, we were just pacing.
Yeah, you're just trying to, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of things happening. It's, adrenaline.
Yes. Pacing, we need to do this, we need to do that. One Albert Amanchi in the house, they need to get tea, they need to bread, what? You know, there's a lot of activity. But the day of the funeral, that's when it dawned on me that she is gone. When she came back, she didn't do that whole thing of coming back and being at home the whole night. She came back up 4 a.m. Or whatever, because that's what she wanted. Yeah, when she came back, I wasn't even home. We were not home because we were not sleeping home, because there was no space for us to sleep at home, because the grannies, the aunts, everyone else was there. And when they opened the coffin for us to see her the last time.
Did you ever find your stability again? And I'm asking this because now you're a mom, you're married, you've got your own family, you've achieved things you could never imagine. Do you ever find that, and I'm attaching this stability, I think the word stability, we're using it loosely because I know the feeling you're talking about. Do you ever find that feeling in anything ever again, or is there always just this void that I used to have this feeling and I will never ever have it back?
It took me having my son to realize, well, actually my mom is not here. And I'll never have. Yeah. It took me having my son because I had him out of wedlock. I didn't get back home to find my mom waiting for me to teach me how to take care of this baby. It took me having my son to realize, well, if my mom gave a lorona, this is how you care for this baby. This thing, when it falls,
what happens?
This thing,
what do you
clean
with
it like this. You dress the baby, you know, a lot of things. When the baby cries, this is what you need to do. So having a child for me made me realize that really, for real, that stability is really not God, there.
Yeah.
Yes, my sister was there. My sisters were there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same.
It's not your mom.
It can never ever be the same for me. It the void, no one can close it.
Yeah.
The void of losing a mom is, it's too big.
Sure.
Because a mom closes a lot of gaps in one's life.
Yeah.
And when those many gaps are now
Uzotin. How does achieving feel like for you? Does it feel, does achievement feel valuable to you? Like purchasing your piece of land, or buying, traveling the world, things that are exciting that I know that you enjoy.
Yeah.
But have you learned to fully enjoy those things, or is it always a, oh, this is lovely, but.
Yeah. It's lovely. And when it's lovely, I choose to be in that lovely moment.
Okay.
I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Downplay it. I don't or not downplay fool the play, not being, enjoy the full moment. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I please be in this moment?
Yeah.
And when the moment of being said comes, to say, now I can't call my mom to say, hey, mama. Hey, papa.
Yeah.
Ki mo and
yeah, sure.
When that feeling comes, I allow myself to feel that. I allow myself to be in the happiness.
Yeah.
And I allow myself to be really in the sadness because that's how I feel at the time.
Yeah.
Why should I allow, why shouldn't I be happy all because...
Mama's not here.
Mama's not here.
Mm.
I know that wherever she is, she's wishing me well.
Yeah.
I know that wherever she is... She probably also wishes that she was there with me to see all these achievements with me. I know that I also wish my mom was there. The one person that I actually wish was here the most is my dad, especially when business is involved, because he was in business.
Ah, okay.
And he always wanted to drive a Volvo. I know that I would have loved to buy a Volvo.
To buy him a Volvo. Oh, okay. For yourself, yeah.
Get home and just give it to him. Papa, drive.
Volvo.
I'm here for the weekend drive. So I allow myself to be in moments.
Yeah.
I don't nisha myself to feel how I feel.
Yeah.
And I wish everyone could be like that. Don't deprive yourself of feeling how you feel or because you are sad.
Sure.
Don't deprive yourself of feeling sad or because you don't want to be sad.
Mm.
Deal with the emotion.
Mm.
Face it head on.
Mm.
And by facing it head on, it's
process.
Easier.
Yeah, you process.
It's easier to even heal
from
whatever that you are feeling.
Sure, I love it. I love that you say that face whatever feeling or emotion because it gets easier to heal. I always look at everything like a wave, like a sea.
Yeah.
If you go with the flow, if the flow says sadness and you go with it, and then when it says happiness, you go, instead of trying to, you're sad, but you're trying to force happiness. Mm-hmm. And it's like you go against the tide and it just makes life so much difficult.
And hard for you to actually live life for what life should be.
Sure. Yeah.
And impossible. You're making it impossible for yourself to actually enjoy this thing that is beautiful that you only have once.
Yeah.
That is life.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone.
I want to talk about, and you touched on it already, when you realize that you have a son, you're beautiful.
He's very handsome boy.
Very sweet, a gentleman.
Yeah.
Who's in varsity now. Yes. Imagine, you with a child in varsity.
In varsity.
In varsity. But you mentioned that he was born out of wedlock, and I know that was a big burden for you. Tell me about that time, that process, and it's such an important conversation because when I had Ayanda here, who had her daughter as a teenager, there was so much process involved, but there was a lot of, I have to just make it. I just have to make it. So tell me about that time of finding out you're pregnant with your son, you're not married, what's happening to the relationship? What's happening to you? Mm. Are you disappointed in you, Jay?
I don't remember me feeling disappointed in myself because I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. What do you mean you knew what you were doing?
I knew that I was having sex unprotected.
Okay. Were you planning for a child?
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't. With someone whom I'm not married to.
Yeah.
So I wasn't disappointed, but I was scared.
Yeah.
Yes. So I fell pregnant with my son, and the dad said he doesn't want him and I must go and abort. And having been raised in a God-fearing household, that was against every single belief in me for that.
Yeah.
And I chose to keep my son. I wasn't a teenager.
How old were you?
I was 23.
Okay. So you weren't young.
Yeah. And I was working already.
Okay.
But working to fend, like to take care of enough you. To take care of myself.
Yeah.
Not as
another
small
one.
Baby.
Yeah.
So, he said he doesn't want the baby and I must go and abort, and I chose not to.
Mm.
And the pregnancy was smooth by God's grace.
Yeah.
And I had my son and life really
kick
to you.
So welcome to adulting.
Yeah.
Listen, the baby needs food. The baby needs this. The baby needs that. Yes, my sisters are there. Ma. But they also have their own lives.
Yeah.
They also have...
And no, you chose because you're an adult now.
Yeah. The one person that was disappointed when I'm pregnant was my sister, Sesim Siwood, because I fell pregnant on the year that I graduated.
Sure. What did you graduate in?
Accounting.
Accounting, yes. Yeah.
So, and she was expecting me to now work, buy a car, like move out.
Shining star,
So she was disappointed. Now the baby is here. The financial stress, the financial burden that comes with having a baby alone.
Yeah. Oh, alone.
Alone. There's no second income. It's me. And I was only earning 2.5.
Yeah. Rands or dollars?
Rands. 2,500 rands. And
even then, it was not a lot of money.
It was not a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't able to survive not alone without having my child. And but he brought joy. He brought something in me that I didn't know I have. However, the joy came with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
It came with a lot of financial stress. I remember I was blacklisted at some point because I had accounts everywhere that I couldn't pay. And I needed those accounts for me to be able to buy my maternity clothes. Sure. And I remember the second week after having him, the pampas di fedile, I don't know where to buy them or, you know.
What do I do?
Can I account go Woolworths? Mahom, go pelo tamele enough for us to go buy these pampas things on credit. So it shook me. It shook me in such a horrible way.
Yeah.
It shook me in a horrible way that actually built me at the same time.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm making sense.
I get you. I hear you. Those are the moments that build us.
Yes.
Yeah.
If
you choose.
Yes. I wanted to say that if you make a decision to make this situation change you for the good.
Sure. If you choose to make the situation change you.
You.
Because the situation might not change.
Thank you. But what is it doing to you? And what are you doing, what are you choosing for yourself for this situation that you are in to mold you? So it shook me. It shook me to a point where I realized, well, I'm tired of living a begging life, because I would always be the one to and I started my business off of that. I started my business all because I was depressed. I was on antidepressants.
You were even on antidepressants?
Yes, I was.
This is how many years ago?
19 years ago.
Mm. This is when it wasn't a thing.
I was suicidal. I was just a mess, Mpumi.
Sure.
I was something that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And by luck, three of my sisters got married in that space.
Yeah.
And I was their planner. And that's how I
got into it. So you were working in, were you in the accounting space yet?
I was already in the accounting space.
But obviously you just graduated. So you intern kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Mm. And then... You've never done deco before.
I've never done deco before.
You don't even know that you've got this thing.
I didn't even know that there's a thing called deco, for that matter. Let me tell you how it started.
Tell me, girl. Jay, like, give me all the tea.
So we are six at home.
Yeah.
Now, number two, number three, and number five, within a space of a year, got married. And I've always been this creative person. You can put pink and green together.
Yeah.
You can put this green and that, you know.
Yeah. There's always been that. Yeah.
I didn't want to study accounting I wanted to be in marketing.
Okay.
But my sister said, where are you going to work?
Yeah.
So within that space of now planning their weddings.
Wait, why did they ask you to plan their wedding?
Because they knew already I talk too much.
Uh-huh.
I'm a good negotiator.
Ah.
And besides that, I know how to put things together.
Okay.
Besides that, I know how to organize things.
Yeah.
So Mahom was the first one to get married, and I went to go see this designer with her. I'm like, hey, I wanted to be in a two-in-one dress.
Two-in-one.
Listen, Jubi's was the designer at the time. I want her to be in a white dress, exchange vows in it.
Yeah.
And after that, I wanted to put something on top that looks traditional. And somehow, she eventually got it and she did it.
Sure.
And the second one, the same thing. The third one was my younger sister. So I was just bulldozing.
Yeah, just like, hey, you are doing
you
what
are doing this.
You. Yeah.
This is how you want, yeah. How you must do it.
And at this point, you're not married yet, ne? No,
at
no, no.
At this point, I'm with Masaka already.
Oh, okay.
Now.
Rajola.
Rimunati, ngomunati, wona. So Masaka says to me,
Masaka's Mawutla's husband.
Yes, my beautiful man. My hunk.
Oh, man's.
Yes, shame. He grounds me, Masaka. He actually played a role in me being where I'm at right now with my life. Because I met him at only 5 months.
Sure.
So Masaka says to me, put your name at the back of these invitation cards and see what will happen. Mm. Put your name, your number, at the back of this
branding
invite.
Branding
101. And I did that, and calls started coming in.
How?
Mm.
But you're not trying to be a wedding planner. You just...
I didn't know what a weddings, you must get a dress, you must get all these other things. I mean, I was helping my sisters plan their weddings, but I wasn't involved with everything, you know. And then comes the decor aspect of things where before I now started my deco business. This lady wants invitation cards and she wants deco. I don't know where to refer her to. And then she says, but I found someone. Here's the person that you can go and talk to because you are helping me already. Go talk to this person. This person will be able to now show you more about this whole deco thing.
Yeah.
When I found that person and she says to me, just know for every referral that you are going to refer to me, you're going to get a 10% commission. And she pays me 3,000 rand. I'm like, 3,000 rand? I didn't even charge that much for my cards. Can I come shadow you? And that's how the deco business was born. Just like that. And I shadowed her. She allowed me to be me. She allowed me to do what I loved.
Yeah.
She actually birthed the deco thing in me. And because of that, I was now exposed to what really goes into wedding planning.
Yeah.
I didn't study to be a deco person. I didn't even go to these short courses. Everything that I did was self-taught.
Sure. And when do you decide to now leave your job? I mean, if you're making a commission of 3,000 rand and you're earning 2.5, when do you decide that actually, let me leave my job and focus on this business?
So now I wasn't earning 2.5 anymore.
Oh, okay.
I now moved. I graduated and then went back home, had my son, and then I had to come back to Joburg because Joburg was where things were happening. Yeah.
Do you leave your son back home?
I left my son back home with my helper, Sis Hilda,
whom
I met. My son was 2 months old, whom I met 3 months before then. But I only left them for 2 months. After that, I was like, I am not coping with myself. When Sis Hilda came in my life and molded me as a woman.
Yeah. Do you feel like she became a mom?
She did. A mom, a sister, someone to cry to.
Yeah.
Till today, when I need to really, really cry, Cecilia is the person for me to call. She gets me.
Yeah.
She gets me.
Yeah.
She gets me.
Yeah. I want to touch on the pain of, I think from the outside, society or people look at women who leave their kids back home to go work. And there's a bit of shame.
Mm.
But for you, I want to know that decision, what it takes to get to that decision where you're like, I have to leave my child to go and try make a living.
For me, it's not by choice.
Mm.
Don't shame anyone who leaves their child.
Mm.
Even if they leave them with their own mom.
Mm.
It's not by choice. It's situations that forces one to do that. It's circumstances that forces one to eventually say, I do not have a choice. I have to leave. I have to go fend for you.
Yeah.
It's not by choice. And let me tell you something again. It is painful.
Sure.
It's painful. I didn't have a car at the time. Got in a taxi. Cecil da unkapile. Oh, nkosi yami, I don't want to cry.
We like tears here. But these are the real stories. These are everyday people's lives. And someone is sitting at home or sitting and they need to know that it gets better.
It does get better.
They need to know that. I know, now you're making me cry. Someone needs to know that there's light.
Mm. There is light. And I am that example.
Yeah.
You know? There is light. So I'm in a taxi. Get a job back. Get really suitcase. Get rolling suitcase. I'm in a taxi.
I'm so glad you're crying because I'm always the one crying. I'm always the one crying on your shoulder. Oh, man.
I drive past. Oh, the taxi drives past the Silda Matatsi, Silda Ukile Ubuchimatatsikamo, as the Silda waves at me and Chalzola Matats. That pain. I cried from Khabani, I think, till Pulukwan.
Sure.
That pain is not, you cannot measure it.
Yeah.
You can't measure it. And at the time, I thought it was the end.
Mm.
At the time, I thought
I failed.
But I am coming here to look. I found a job to look for better opportunities for myself, for him.
Yeah.
To look for better opportunities for him to have the life that he has now. And I'm glad I did. I'm really happy I made that decision. So it's not by choice.
Yeah.
It goes back to what we said. What do you do with the situation that you are put in?
Yeah.
What is it that you, how do you want this situation to mold you?
Yeah.
How are you going to use this situation to your advantage?
Mabotla, when you leave, when you're saying bye and you in the taxi and you see your Sis Hilda, you see your son and they're waving and you know that you're about to get a job. But even in that job, you know that it's not, do you ever see this?
Mm-mm.
Or do you see, at least we'll be able to just eat and be in one home? Like, what do you see?
I see we'll be able to eat. I won't have to be broke anymore. I won't see a bike or a toy and not be able to buy it for you. You'll be able to have a good life. You'll be able to have a life that every mom wants to give their child.
And that's it.
And that's it. I don't see me as this person that I am today. I am seeing we'll be able to survive.
Yeah.
I am in survival mode. I am seeing I won't have to worry about where will I get the money to buy the Pampers.
Yeah.
I am seeing I won't have to worry about nanny if a deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't see any of the things that
are they here now.
Mm, they're here now.
I wanna know, running a business on its own is very hard. Mm. But then there's when your business becomes your ministry, which I honestly believe you are called to. As much as you're called to marriages, I think you're called to brides.
Mm.
What has that taught you about you and your role in life and just marriage as an institution created by God?
You need people around you.
Mm.
You need people around you. Now, coming back to the bride space, which was your question, you need someone around you who's got your back through and through.
Yeah.
Who is out there for your good.
Yeah.
Someone who has your back.
Yeah.
You need people around you. People teaches us things.
Yeah.
People teach us patience. They teach us to be gracious. They teach us to love. They teach us to be kind. They teach us a lot. They teach us to know what to say, when to say it, and how. You cannot teach yourself that.
You need people.
You only can learn that when you are around people. It can be good people. It can be really rude people.
Mm-hmm.
Can be really ill-hearted people. They teach you patience. They teach you. They teach you to just shut up sometimes. They teach you to. To let go.
Yeah.
People teach you all those things. So one thing that my brides have taught me and they continue to teach me is you need people around you.
Yeah. You cannot do it. You cannot do life without people. Mm-mm. You cannot do life without people. Mm-mm. What has weddings? Mm. So we live in a generation now where we dream of the wedding and we do all the things that the bells and the whistles and we come to you and Mabutla, this is what I want. But then I know with you, and even personally, you have your brides come to you when sexually.
Okay.
You conducted a wedding, but now the marriage. Mm. And I want to understand what have all the marriages or all the weddings you have planned taught you?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe let me not say taught you, but what do you understand and know for a fact?
Mm-hmm.
About marriage.
I say this and I say it with the utmost respect and truth.
Yeah.
Premarital counseling is key.
Mm.
People these days have forgotten the importance of premarital counseling. You know what premarital counseling does for you?
Tell us.
It puts you in the marriage.
Mm.
It doesn't put you in the wedding, but it puts you in the marriage. You're going to be annoyed at Masaka.
Mm.
Or he came back home at 11.
Mm.
You're going to hate Masaka.
Yeah.
How are you going to handle him? You're going to not want to dish up for him today.
Yeah.
You're going to not want to even talk to him.
Yeah.
His voice is going to annoy you.
Yeah.
His voice is going to, can you please just shut up? Like, can I please not hear your voice?
Yeah.
So I find that a lot of people have forgotten the importance of premarital counseling and they are looking into the wedding as the and the all.
Thing. Full
the
stop.
Thing. And,
yeah.
And it's not there.
Yeah.
I say it's your wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the family's wedding,
yeah.
But it's your marriage. And I tell my brides all of that. And I think that sinks really well in them because they go in with, I'm actually entering a marriage here. It's not only about the wedding. Yes, it must be beautiful.
Yeah.
It has to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I deserve a beautiful wedding.
Yeah.
Because I wanted a wedding, but I'm entering an institution called marriage, and that marriage is what this whole thing is about.
Do you think we understand what marriage is?
Mm-mm.
Our generation?
No.
Okay, why do you say that?
giving up easy.
Please don't cancel us.
And I'm saying this with the utmost respect to you brides because I want to plan your weddings. I'm not saying this
so that you get... And your anniversaries.
And your anniversaries. I don't want you guys to be afraid to get married.
Yes.
I say that because we live in such a microwave life. We live in such a perfect picture out there.
Yeah.
But the inside is not perfect. And the sad part about that is the inside is something that people don't want. This by people, I mean the husband and
the wife.
They don't want to face that reality. They're afraid to face that reality because it was not addressed even before.
Yeah.
Hence, I spoke about premarital counseling.
Yeah.
So we plan people's weddings whom we know or ish. But because of the fact that your dream has always been to get married. You want to just get married. You are forgetting, or you are marrying an imperfect person.
Yeah.
You know?
who comes with his family and his things and mm-hmm. his childhood traumas. And
you are also not perfect.
Yeah, and you're coming with your things.
You're coming with your own baggage.
Yeah.
How do we now deal with that? Imagine someone getting married to me, like Masaka, he got married to me. Nakitale baggage agore, I don't have a mom. Masaka had his mom until he was 39.
Hmm.
The jealousy that comes with not having my mom, sure. but he has his mom till 39. Well, understand that.
Yeah.
So it's those kind of things that are dealt with premarital counseling sure. that are highlighted for us to deal with when we are in the marriage.
I'm glad you mentioned that. How do you deal with that? Because that's such a, you can't change that.
You can't
change it. It's not like you got a promotion, I didn't get a promotion. Like you can always get a promotion tomorrow, you know?
True.
But it's, you have your mom and I don't have my mom and... Like, how do you deal with that in a marriage without making the other... Because now, must he feel bad for having a... Like, what
he
must happen?
He shouldn't feel bad. Accept and have a conversation with him. Make him understand how it makes you feel.
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with him.
No.
It's about you.
It's a you problem.
Yeah.
It's a me problem.
Yeah.
It's not your problem. Yeah. Just, love, you know, the fact that you can call your mom, actually, yo, jealousy, eknang leon.
Sure.
And you know what that will do? You are releasing yourself. Mm. You are releasing yourself to actually love that mom.
Yeah.
Love that sister.
Yeah.
Love that person that you didn't grow
you didn't
up
have.
With. Communicate.
Yeah, man, communicate.
Just say how you feel. Kuloma, man.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Most marriages break because communication is not there. It can be there. Right?
Yeah.
But it's also the how.
I think it's safety. I think once safety is taken away, and not even just in marriages, in relationship, once someone hasn't treated your vulnerability with safety and with careful guard, next time you have a wall up, and that is the fastest way to ruin a relationship. Is that now you can't speak anymore because you don't feel... So now it's... Now you have to turn down, take down the wall, but... You were not safe, but the only way for this thing to work is for you to find the safety in the person who didn't give you the safety.
I'm telling the truth, Mpumine. It goes back to you being vulnerable and communicating with your husband. Moje, or which yabyang, how he takes it, it's up to him.
Yeah,
but he knows.
For you. Yeah.
Don't deal with a problem alone without the next person knowing how you feel.
Because they could be happy and you're like, you're burning inside and the person doesn't even know what's happening.
A person will be talking about his mom. Masaka will be talking about his mom throughout. And I'm like, I don't even remember my mom that much anymore. I mean, it's been 20 what years.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So tell them.
Yeah.
Tell him
how
it makes you feel. He is away.
Yeah.
The important thing is to make a person how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
They will deal with it with caution. They will do it with caution.
Mabotla, you just recently bought a large piece of land.
Mm.
And I love talk. It's my favorite story. Just talk about it. I love talking about it because, and I shared it earlier on, that when you came to my salon, you came with your sisters and it was just a girl's day. Mm. And you and I just had a conversation. You're like, I want to plan your wedding. And I was like, okay. And you've planned every single thing I've ever done since. In fact, my traditional wedding.
Yes.
I said, ask Mabotla.
Yeah.
And all I did was arrive. I just arrived.
Yeah.
And so our relationship started from there where you were just the decor lady.
Mm.
And that was big. But then I remember we have a conversation and you say, ah, you don't want to travel so much anymore. And I remember that conversation because you were always away going to Limpopo. And I think that was a big motivator to getting this piece of land. Anyway, now you get this piece of land and now you have the biggest... It's not just weddings now. It's the biggest brands in the country coming to host their events there. How does it feel?
Good. Very good.
And you own it?
I own it. It's all mine. I'm walking on my land. It's mine.
I'm walking
on my land. I can break this structure today because it's mine.
It's mine.
And I can build another one tomorrow because it's mine.
Sure.
It feels good. It's an achievement.
Yeah.
I really was tired of traveling. I really was tired of having to drive to Limpopo on a Thursday, come back on a Monday, knowing fully well what I'm driving back again on the Thursday, or I'm driving to somewhere else on, and the trucks that get broken and the employees that need to be transported. And it was draining. It was taking away my joy more than anything, and it was taking my joy in the ministry that I know God has placed me in. And I knew that I still wanted to be in the wedding space, in the event space, but the traveling part was no longer a thing for me, you know. It was no longer, it wasn't fashionable anymore, you know. It wasn't nice, it wasn't cool. So I knew that I needed to have something that's going to allow me to still do what I do at my place. I literally drive a whole place, man. I drive for 7 minutes to work and I'm there. Like when I was driving on Allendale this week, I was like, when last did I drive here? But before, I'll be saying, yo, when I drove past here, there was an accident 2 days ago. And I know Ormola on Alma traffic cops, you know. So It feels good. It's a good achievement for me. It feels amazing. It's like, wow, I did it.
I did it.
My son comes to the fortress and he stands there and say, you know, Ma, I don't believe that you own this. I don't believe it. You know? And when I hear it from him, it's even more gooder.
Yeah.
The daughter came when everything was
soft girl.
When she arrived, she had a pram, she had a car seat.
Yeah, a car
She had a cot bed. She had everything she needed.
Yeah.
So hearing it from my son, whom I used to carry Kotexin, say,
I can't believe it.
I cannot believe that this is all this, you know.
With his private school accent.
Yes. Gana go kere uring makati. Speak slow.
Speak slow. Speak your language.
Speak your language. You know? So it feels good. Yeah. And it's something that I would want to put everyone who's in business, any kind of a business, to challenge themselves in. Don't just be settled with the fact that when you are making enough money to sustain yourself, where is the stability?
The stability.
How are the you going scaling, to resign?
The growth, the growth, retirement.
Thank you. I mean, retire, not resign.
Yes.
But how are you going to retire? What are you retiring to?
Sure. Yeah, it's not just for end of the month.
No.
There's life afterwards.
No.
Who is God to you?
My everything. Okay. God to me is my savior.
Your savior. Yeah.
Look, I wasn't the nicest of them teenagers.
Really?
No.
Last time.
Yeah, nabekisteleka. I'm that child who would run away from home and come back on. Yeah.
Mabutla.
Yes,
you.
Me. Bekisteleka.
Yeah.
So I understand grace. I deeply, deeply, deeply understand what grace is all about in my life. Most of the people that I would go out with, most of them have left us. Most of them are not here. But I'm still here.
You're still here.
So God for me is a savior. In that sense, he saved me from so much.
From yourself.
From myself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God for me is a savior from a point of now, me being me now.
Yeah.
There are things that he does. There are people that he brings my direction that save me from so much without me even being aware.
Yeah.
God for me is a savior in that I am raising our kids in a safe environment.
Safe space, yeah.
In a safe space.
Yeah.
And it all comes from being saved by God, really. Sure. So being saved and God, me considering God as my savior is on the same level and scale as God being a gracious God in my life. He is, I'm not shook. My faith is not shook.
When your sister, your older sister sees you, considering the teenager she raised, because your sister practically almost raised you.
Yes.
What does she say? Like,
she says she's proud of me.
Does she keep saying, "Hey, Marawe"?
Yes. Maramabuta was
Mara,
and she loves going back to those stories.
I'm not that person anymore.
I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
But she's very proud of me.
Yeah.
Remember, this person took us through school, took us through varsity.
I actually wanted to ask how you, because you said you graduated in accounting. She took you guys through school.
She did. So sometimes we would send us food, got taxi.
Your 27, 28 year old sister.
Yes. So sometimes when she didn't have enough money to send us to buy food, go varsity.
Yeah.
She would literally go to the taxi, pack whatever that she had, and send it to us ka taxi. Mabutla, ke rumetse dijo ka taxi so. Sesimsuthi is amazing. And please go there and get your food.
Yeah. How do you thank her now? Now that
there
you
is
have
nothing that she asks from me that I don't do. Nothing. Nothing. If and by nothing, I mean
nothing.
I refuse to see her broke.
Yeah.
I refuse to see her unhappy.
Yeah.
I refuse to see her sad.
Yeah.
There is nothing that she asks from me that I fight her battles.
Sure.
I fight her battles. She doesn't have what I have.
Yeah.
But what I have, because she taught me that we share.
Yeah, you share.
I share with her.
As we wrap up, it brings me back to the story you said about your dad, about
unity.
The pens together. Yes. I'll never forget that by one, you can break.
One.
But together.
Ah, my dad did an amazing job in instilling that. One, it's easy.
And you and your siblings stand together. And I think for a lot of family who lose their parents, there's a lot of conflict. And I'm sure there is conflict and all of those things. But above it all, you guys, like, I look at you guys and I'm like, you guys have each other.
It is
the most beautiful thing to watch. You and your siblings have each other.
We do. And it was instilled from a young age.
Yeah. It's as if they knew.
I think my dad knew that he's not going to live long.
Sure.
And my mom, I think she knew that she's also not going to live long. My dad instilled the unity, the life values and whatnot. My mom instilled the God-fearing part of things.
Yeah.
So I think they
somehow
knew.
Somehow they knew.
Yeah. And they did a good job in preparing us for us to be able to stand up on our own and say we're not going to be derailed by what's in fashion now.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be derailed by the fact that the in thing now, faith-wise, is this. We know where we stand.
Yeah, this is our foundation.
This is our foundation.
What is the season of your life called?
Be humble.
Be humble?
Mm.
Why?
Sometimes having everything you want and need in your life, or everything you want and have always wanted in your life, can sway you away from so many things.
Yeah.
You can even sway you away from God.
Sure.
Be humble.
Be humble.
Be humble. I have a venue. People that I've found in the business, I don't want to say some, most of them don't.
Yeah.
So
it's easy to.
It's easy for me to say, feel me, I've arrived. Be humble.
Be humble.
Mm.
Verse or quote you live by? You have to be quick with these questions.
Yo, my cup runneth over.
My cup runneth over. Yo, and it's always running over. But you know what? Your the way you give, it embarrasses the other. Like, the way you give, I sometimes feel so embarrassed that, no, Mabutla, it's too much. Like, you are such a giver. But I find so much, like, now I think how I receive, openly receive how much you give is I know that your cup is always overflowing. Mm. And I can't pay you. But one thing about your God, I share. He makes sure.
He constantly
overflows.
Yes, my cup runneth over.
A book everyone should read.
Hmm.
Or a podcast everyone should listen to. Anything.
A book everyone should read. It's a book by Deepak Chopra.
Uh-huh.
It's so small.
Oh, yes. The seven.
Thank you. The seven principles of something, something.
Success. Something seven. Yes.
It's this small.
Yes. You read it in a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bought that book after watching an interview with Deepak Chopra, an interview like Oprah.
Yeah.
And I remember ordering that book from Exclusive Books. They didn't even have it.
They never have it. It's always out of stock. You have to order it.
My son, Chloe, was still learning how to write.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
I read that book so many times.
Sure.
So many times. It grounds you.
Yes. Yes.
It grounds you.
Puts things into perspective and order.
Thank you.
And order.
Thank you.
Okay, last question. You must fill in the sentence. A wise woman once said,
love fully.
Love fully. Mm. And that's who you are. And that's what you do.
Thank you.
This is nice.
It was.
Yo, we cried.
You made me cry.
I'm always crying to you. So for what? It's so good to say, yeah, color now. Okay, color. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. If people want to book your venue, where do they go? Yeah. What do they do?
They can call us.
Call you, yeah. We'll put your details on.
Yeah, you put my details on. Yeah.
I know you've got a winter special.
We have a winter special. And you know what? All weekends are taken.
So you better get married on a Tuesday.
Thank you.
Or a Monday.
Those weddings become the best because the people that are coming
are
people that actually value you. They took away time from work, from everything to come in.
So get married on a Tuesday.
Yeah. We are on Instagram. We are on TikTok.
Everywhere. Manjo, what did you say? Of course I own a venue.
Of course.
Thank you.